Thank you for listening to the Grace Church Sermon Podcast. We hope you hear in today's message the love Christ has for you. As an Episcopal church, Grace has deep roots in the Anglican tradition, while also seeking to be a fresh and vibrant expression of this sacramental liturgical faith. We hope through the ministry of Grace Church, you will not only know the truth that God's love is for everyone, really no exceptions, but that you would also live out that truth in your life. Visit us online at www.graceyukon.org for service times and information about our ministries.
Jesus, let me be what you make of me while you be what I love. Amen. Well, over the last couple weeks, ever since Ash Wednesday, we've had a couple members of our church, a couple newer members, reach out to me or to Kirsten to talk about Lent a little bit. One person said, I'm actually excited about Lent. I hope you're supposed to be excited, but I'm excited because I've never done anything like this before. And so I'm excited to choose a spiritual practice and to be intentional about my relationship with God in a particular way. Another person said that they were a little bit trepidatious about Lent because of all the themes of sin and repentance and penitence. It reminded them a little bit of their church growing up, but not in a good way. But then they said that Reverend Kirsten's sermon last week had helped them a lot to see that Lent isn't about shame, but it's about spiritual growth. And so if that's what you heard, then yes, you got it. This journey of Lent, this way of the cross, is meant to be a journey of growth. It's a tragedy that for many, kind of a tragedy of theology, I guess, that many have heard about sin and judgment of God way more than God's grace and forgiveness, as if they're disconnected. The whole point of Jesus' death and resurrection is to demonstrate to us that there is nothing that could separate us from God's love. Jesus' death is sacrificial, self-giving love in its purest form, and it leads to resurrection and to new life. So Lent is very much meant to be a season that prepares us for Easter by inviting us to consider both our brokenness and our belovedness. It's true, we're created in the image of God, beautifully and wondrously made, as Scripture says. And it's also true that we stray and fall short of our potential. We mess up relationships, we hurt others, we sin. So Lent is the season when we take these two seemingly opposite realities and we hold them together as we walk this way of the cross and as we walk towards Holy Week and Easter. To be honest about our sinfulness is not to discount our infinite worth in God's eyes. Penitence is not about kind of abusing ourselves with a toxic shame, but rather it's about bringing our guilt before God and asking God to heal us and to renew us and make us whole. Lent should lead to resurrection, to renewal, to a deeper love of God and a deeper love of yourself. Otherwise, you're doing Lent wrong. But before we start thinking that Lent is all kind of individualistic, that it's kind of a self-help season or something like that, where we only focus on ourselves, the reality is that Lent also asks us to look more broadly beyond ourselves. As soon as we start thinking about our need for redemption, it's hard to ignore the many longings for redemption in the world around us. Likewise, as we nourish our connection with God and our relationship with God, that love of God will flow out of us towards others and towards the needs of the world around us. Lent pushes us, and it begins to take us places we might not expect, as Reverend Kirsten said at the end of her sermon last week. So following Jesus definitely has that inward component, but ultimately faith draws us outward towards others. And we see that movement in Jesus' own life. Last week we heard the reading of his baptism where Jesus hears that voice, "You are my son, the beloved." And in Mark's gospel, at least, it's not even clear that anyone besides Jesus hears that. It's almost as if that is an amazingly private moment between the Son and the Father that we get to read about through the gospel. But that moment of Jesus' belovedness and that kind of inward moment, a personal moment, it sets Jesus on this path of healing, of teaching, and of lifting up others. Dwelling in that love of God moves Jesus to serve those around him and to pay attention and meet the needs of the world. Several times throughout his ministry, Jesus says really clearly that he sees that his life, how it might end, and where this road is likely heading. And still, he's willing to lay down his life and to give up his life for many. His journey is the way of the cross. One of my favorite prayers from that speaks of Jesus' journey to the cross is from our morning prayer liturgy in the Book of Common Prayer. And it speaks about what Jesus accomplishes on the cross by saying this. It says, "Lord Jesus Christ, you stretched out your arms of love on the hard wood of the cross that everyone might come within the reach of your saving embrace." It's the collect for Fridays. And I love that image of Jesus with hands stretched out for an embrace as an act and symbol of pure and sacrificial love for you, me, and yes, for the entire world. In our reading today, Jesus then says, "Pick up your cross and follow me." Our cross isn't the same as Jesus. It may well require sacrifice, but our cross is not to die for the redemption of the world. But I think that the invitation is there to follow by also stretching out our arms of love with the love of God so that we might embrace and respond to the needs of the world around us. Jesus lays it out there in our reading today that following him, that loving God is going to move us outward from ourselves towards the needs of others and the needs of the world. We may have ideas about what's important in our lives, about what we value as an individual. And Jesus warns us that not all of those things may be spiritually healthy. Some of our dreams and our desires, our wants, might not align with God's desire for our lives. So we need to let some things die in order for other things to truly live and to truly thrive, and so that we might truly serve. And so this is the challenge before us. And it's a challenge, I think, in part because of the society that we live in, a society that focuses almost all of our attention on earthly things, not heavenly things, to use Jesus' words. We live in this materialist, capitalistic society where it's all about stuff and possession and self. We're motivated constantly by fear and messages that tell us that there may not be enough. We better get all the toilet paper you might possibly need, right? We are often tempted to live in a survival of the fittest mentality, where I take care of me and mine because there's not enough to go around, not just toilet paper, not enough money, not enough security, not enough opportunity, not enough privilege. We live in a world where might is right. And the ironic thing is that the more and more people who buy into that mentality, the truer it seems to become. It's like a self-fulfilling prophecy. And this is the earthly way of selfishness, of greed, of scarcity, of getting my way, of ignoring the needs of others. And it is opposite to this way of the cross, this way that Jesus lives out, and this way that Jesus invites us to follow. Jesus invites us to counterbalance this selfish path by setting our minds on human things, as he says to Peter today, by picking up our cross and by following him. We are broken and beloved, remember. So we are always pulled between selfishness and selflessness. But God made us for compassion, for service, for love. It's there. Decades ago at an academic lecture, someone asked Margaret Mead, who was probably the most famous anthropologist of the 20th century, they asked her what was the earliest sign of civilization. And the student kind of expected her to say something about, you know, clay pots or tools or something like that. But instead, she replied, "A broken bone." She explained that archaeologists have this 15,000-year-old femur. And in the fossil, you can see where there was a fracture and where it had healed. This is one of the first signs of civilization, she said, because it takes weeks for a femur to heal. That's your leg bone that takes all of your weight. And so this means that somebody else, for weeks, fed this person and cared for them and protected them. You know, in the animal kingdom, we're just left for dead. Only the strong survive. But in the human family, when we are embracing our better angels, when we are living into this way of self-giving love and sacrifice and compassion, then we're living into our truest self. We're living into the humanity that is connected and aligned and reflects that heavenly image that God ingrained in each and every one of us. And this has been the struggle for humanity since Eden. But Jesus shows us definitively in this way of the cross that the way of selfless love and compassion and the embrace of the needs of the world is the heavenly way. And it is our truest humanity. So if you are to take seriously this call this Lent to set your mind on heavenly things, if you were to take seriously this call to pick up your cross and follow Jesus this Lent, what does that mean for you? Some of us in this church right now are doing the Episcopal Church's curriculum called Sacred Grounds. They are digging into the role of racism in our country and in our own lives. And that is real Lenten work. That is work that unsettles us, that pushes us to see and embrace the needs of the world. In our discipleship group, others are thinking on Wednesday nights about grace-filled political conversations and how we can do at least our part from where we are to bring some healing to the divisiveness of our age. You know, what issues and what perspectives is Lent calling you to learn about? What voices are you being called to listen to? This way of the cross pushes you towards a greater compassion, not just for those who are like you, but those who are not like you. It's easy to be selfless with those who are in our tribe. But the way of the cross is a challenge to set aside our perspectives that tend to be centered on ourselves. We're called to pay attention to injustice and oppression, to open our eyes to the needs of the world around us, to listen to the voices of the marginalized and the hurting. And with God's help, with grace and mercy and love and yes, even action, we do what we can to stretch out our arms of love, just like Jesus, to embrace the world, to grow our hearts and our minds to be more like our Savior. Lent, the way of the cross, yes, it connects us and reconnects us with God, and it then moves us to extend that love of God to the world. Lent leads to Easter. Lent leads to resurrection, to new life. Lent leads to a deeper love of God, a deeper love of yourself, and a deeper love of others. Otherwise, you're doing Lent wrong. So may God use this season to bring healing to your lives and to the lives of those around us. May we walk this way of the cross and find it none other than the way of life and peace through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.